I'm Stuart McIntosh with the BBC News. Hello. Cuba is experiencing a nationwide blackout after its main energy plant failed, knocking out electricity to around 10 million people. The government has declared an emergency, suspending all non-essential public sector services and closing schools in an effort to conserve power supplies. Our Central America correspondent Will Grant has the details.
Initially, the government told state workers to stay home, said that schools and universities were going to be closed, ordered that businesses be shut in an attempt to stave off the situation. But then it was announced that there was an electricity emergency, that the power plant, Antonio Guterres, one of the most important in the country, was essentially offline. The president, Miguel Díaz-Canel, has said that the Cuban government is working round the clock, that it is a priority to get the lights back on, but could not put a time frame on when that might happen.
President Biden has said there's an opportunity to deal with Israel and Iran in a way that potentially ends their conflict in the Middle East for, as he put it, a while. Tensions between the two foes have escalated in recent weeks, particularly following Tehran's major missile attack on Israel earlier this month. Tom Bailey reports.
Mr. Biden made the comments while speaking to reporters at the end of a visit to Berlin and said he was hopeful of finding a way to stop what he described as the back and forth between the two regional rivals. He added, though, that he also had an understanding of how and when Israel was going to retaliate against recent missile attacks by Iran, but declined to elaborate. Addressing the wider regional conflicts, the US leader said he believed there was a possibility of working towards a ceasefire in Lebanon, but that such efforts would be harder in Gaza.
Dozens of people are reported to have been killed in fresh Israeli airstrikes and artillery fire on the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza. The Reuters news agency quoted Palestinian medics as saying at least 30 people had been killed and many more wounded. There's been no immediate Israeli comment. The Ukrainian foreign minister has called for a strong, immediate reaction from allies following reports by South Korean intelligence that North Korea has sent troops to help Russia's war effort. Here's our Europe regional editor, Danny Eberhard.
These latest South Korean claims are the most detailed yet, alleging that North Korea is now helping Russia with troops as well as weapons. Seoul says they're being trained, naming specific locations, before being deployed to the front lines. Moscow and Pyongyang deny such reports, but Ukraine's foreign minister has called on allies to scale up military support immediately. Andriy Sybiha has again called on them to lift restrictions that prevent Kyiv from using long-range Western weapons for strikes inside Russia.
World News from the BBC. The United Nations says cocaine production in Colombia has reached a new record, growing by more than 50% in 2023 compared with the year before. A report by the UN's Office on Drugs and Crime says production of the drug reached 2,600 tonnes. It adds that coca leaf production over the same period grew by 10%. With less than 3 weeks until polling day in the US presidential election, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump have both been campaigning in the key swing state of Michigan. Addressing a rally in Grand Rapids, Ms. Harris accused her Republican rival of being exhausted and unfit for office following reports that Mr. Trump had withdrawn from several scheduled media interviews in the past week.
He is ducking debates and cancelling interviews. And check this out, his own campaign team recently said it is because of exhaustion. Well, if you are exhausted on the campaign trail, it raises real questions about whether you are fit for the toughest job in the world.
Mr. Trump rejected the claim, saying he'd gone 48 days without a rest and was exhilarated by how his campaign was going. The Portuguese island territory of the Azores has approved the creation of a vast protected marine area. The archipelago's regional assembly says it'll be the largest underwater conservation effort in the North Atlantic. It'll cover about 300,000 square kilometres, encompassing underwater mountain ranges, deep-sea corals and hydrothermal vents. South African police have arrested a couple suspected of handing cash stolen during attacks on ATMs. Police said the investigation began when notes stained with security dye were deposited in a bank account. The dye is activated when an automatic cash dispensers are broken into, rendering the money unusable. And that is the latest BBC News.